Fashion.
I'm Abby.
I'm Evan.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to The Fashion Hags.
We love to love
and love to hate
all things fashion.
Hey.
Oh, hello. Hello. 61. Episode 61. Testing 61.
61. Hello.
Podcast.
Podcast 61. Fashion Hags.
Do the podcast of 61. Fashion Hags.
Are you there, 61? It's us, Fashion Hags.
Pick up the phone. I know you're home. Your lights are on.
Pick up the phone. I'm all alone.
Did you see that there's like a new cover to Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret, the Judy Blume book?
No.
And it's like an SMS text message with like the iPhone interface on the cover. Even though the book
is a girl
obviously
just looking up at a window or whatever
or,
it used to
or
be or
like
some
sitting
shit.
In a tree or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like they're trying to get
She's
like
texting God
young, hip
to
kids
modernize.
To read it. But and then it's like it's Are You There, God? And then another text message bubble. It's me, Margaret. And then there's like
just
three
the text,
dots.
Three dots.
Like,
dot, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Adorable. Is any teen going to fall for that?
No, because they're going to open it and it's going to be set in the 70s.
Yeah. It's going to be completely
weird.
Different.
Yeah. And people are like up in arms about it. Like, I guess the Judy Blume purists of the world.
Oh,
but
great,
anyway,
though.
I think that's might be our fastest tangent.
Oh
time.
Boy.
Yeah.
Right off
just
the
instantly
sound.
Off topic.
Instantly.
Yeah.
Barely said our own names. Oh boy.
Well,
but we're here. It's terrible, terrible weather outside.
I don't know if you can hear, it's probably not picking up, but it is it's audibly raining.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's not good.
No, it's
so
not
wet.
Good.
I only left the house today to come here.
And I didn't leave the house like, at all.
Not I
even
usually
for a
bike.
Second.
Not today. There's
not
no chance.
Today.
No chance.
No chance. Oh, did you leave the house today, Evan?
I left the house today for the first time in 2 days. I've been under the weather.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So I went out and got
well,
real
thank
food.
You for coming.
Yeah. Like, today was the first day where I was like,
human.
Poking, like, I'm a human being, like, poking my face and like, like, as like just taking that physical assessment of like, how am I feeling? Is there like.
Are you there, Evan? It's me, Evan.
It's me, Evan. Are you there? The human being that's been trapped inside of this vessel of sickness for the past two days.
Yeah. Oh, I hate that kind of, where you're like, this isn't so bad, and then you get up and do something, and you're like, oh
yeah,
God, that
no,
was
it's
a
awful.
Huge mistake. It was a terrible
yeah.
idea.
Yes.
I made a huge mistake. Back to bed.
And it's just like, a human being can only drink so much like chicken broth. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
And like soda crackers for 2 days before it's like, if I don't eat something right now, I'm going to stay in this permanent state of weakness for the rest of my life.
And that's not doable.
No.
That's what we're really close to a pho Vietnamese place.
Yeah. Like, it's the job done.
Just like, if there's a little tickle in my throat, it's like, up the hill.
Go lean over a bowl of hot noodle
hot
soup.
Noodles, yeah. Like a beef broth noodle.
Mm.
Yeah. That's what
get
I
get some spice
that's,
in there, maybe.
Get
or
some spice. Get some
vegetables.
Get some nutrients.
Some bone broth.
That vitamin K or whatever it is.
Like it is, I don't know.
My mom is like, it's whatever it is. We had a whole conversation. I don't remember what it is, Mom. I think it's vitamin K, but you will know.
It's vitamin R.
Maybe you'll text me when you listen to this and you'll be like, oh, the
that's
thing you
the
meant
one.
To say was this thing.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Thanks, Mom.
Yep.
That's the one.
That's the one that makes me feel better.
Oh, well.
Plus, it's always nice to have a hot bowl of soup treat.
Yes. Yes, it is.
When you don't have to make it yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you're feeling better. So is that all you've been up to?
Literally.
Yeah,
literally. And doing dead and
trying to reach deadlines
and which some of them passed while I was sick and it was just like,
well, that's life.
That's just the way it goes. Deadlines don't give a give a shit about your deadlines.
No.
No.
Like, no, and gonna, it's, you have gonna, to
and I've been going yeah. pretty like I've been pell-mell the last few days. I did a dress for a client for the Juno Awards gala. That happened here
it
in
just
Vancouver
happened
this
past weekend.
And it was a
the Junos are our Grammys.
Yeah.
It's music awards.
By our Grammys, you mean Fashion Hags?
Yes.
Also, no. Why did the Fashion Hags not get invited to the Junos? Looking at you, Junos.
Yeah,
people.
Come on, Junos. Get your shit together. Oh, boy.
We would be really fun red carpet commentators. Can you imagine?
Oh, the CBC would love us.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't think we'd ever get invited back.
I don't even know who was doing it. I haven't recorded. I mean, everybody a single second.
Everybody must have done it.
Whoever has the balls to put the three of us on primetime television.
Give us a microphone.
Yeah. Yeah, but my body was just like, no, we're literally going to body you for a couple of days so you don't move.
Oh, boy.
And it's just like, okay, I gotta get
around. At least you made the Juno. At least you made that deadline.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I started getting sick that morning of like her picking
that last
up the
little
dress.
Bit. Yeah,
I was just that's the first morning where I was like, oh fuck, I am doing this pickup and I'm going back to bed.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh well, you didn't miss anything. This weekend has been fucking horrible.
I did. I missed two fashion shows that I was supposed to go to.
Oh shit! Yeah, it was Vancouver Fashion Week.
Yeah,
I went to a couple of shows.
I was gonna say, Katie went to a couple. That was good.
Saw Miss J, and I was like, "What's Miss J doing here?" I still am not completely
fulfilling
sure.
a contractual obligation.
It was it was on the Instagram account.
Well, that's what she was doing,
saying thanks, Vancouver. It was a badly lit red carpet shot. I'm just saying.
Let's not. I don't
want to. But were the shows cool?
I mean, they were fine. I don't love fashion shows. I think they're played in a lot of ways.
You're not reinventing the wheel.
I don't want to.
Especially down here in Vancouver for Local Fashion Week, right?
Yeah, and I like to support local fashion, but Vancouver Fashion Week is
not a representation of Vancouver fashion.
No, so I don't want to.
The weirdest people show.
Great people watching.
All the freaks show up. Oh man. Oh yeah.
Yep.
Major freaks.
But yeah, there were some like
major fashion freaks.
Yeah,
it's good times.
We were there. I went with two former guests, actually, Olivia Hayward and Lindy Barrett from Style Calling. And we were like, okay, we'll save for these couple of shows and then that's fine.
Okay,
we're
good.
We'll go for a drink or something.
We need.
There was not a lot of media. It was not weird. It's weird how it's. Anyway, I don't want to throw shade.
But too much.
I don't care.
More.
I mean, it could be much better. It could be much better. That's for sure. But yeah. The shows themselves, I mean, there's tons of talent. It's not a question of talent. It's a question of the organization and how they interact and promote that talent in a positive way for that talent as opposed to
benefit.
For Vancouver Fashion Week.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know the ins and the outs. It's been going on for a long, long time. So it brought Miss J, so I don't know. Who knows?
Whatever.
Well, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? But
is that all you've done in the last week?
No, today I'm working on a little something that may or may not turn into something. I'm not sure.
It's a little something now. Could be an actual something later.
But I had to take some product shots today. Some, like, for lack of a better word, still life shots for
e-com shots, kind
of. Yeah, just a picture of an object that's well lit.
On a white background.
On a white background. So that you can either keep the white background or remove it completely in Photoshop and replace it with a digital white background. But I don't have a proper lighting kit. Mm. I have a lamp in my living room and I have a lamp in my bedroom and I have an overhead light and I have a pretty good camera.
Yeah.
That has not a great flash, but the flash is on
camera.
You
wouldn't want the flash anyway.
You don't want anyways. Yeah. It has to be diffused. And you're like, oh, we'll set this up. It'll be all right. Luckily, my husband works in film, so he sort of knows what's what. And he knows how to, you know, how things like this are done professionally. And he's like, well, basically what you want to do is build a light box. And I'm like, teach
okay.
me. I don't know
do how that, to do then. That.
It is so much work to get those photos properly done. It is no problem at all to take a bad photo. It is incredibly easy. Even a mediocre photo is really easy to do. But to get a really good, nice quality photo that matches the thing that you're looking at.
Evenly lit.
Evenly
really
lit,
nice,
not too shiny.
Or too much shadow.
Too many shadows.
Shines or glares off of things.
It is really hard, even with a good camera, with proper settings and a husband who knows how to do that.
Yeah.
It's very hard
to
do.
Not just you on your phone.
Yeah, not just on your phone. So we basically built a light box, which is essentially the back. It's a mini psych wall, which is just a big blank wall that doesn't have
a 90 degree angle.
It doesn't have a 90 degree angle. It doesn't have a horizon. It's just sort
of not
curved.
A flat wall meeting a flat floor.
Yeah. So it's done with either fabric or paint or, I mean, however
paper
you want to do it.
Whatever, we use paper.
It's usually paper. So we made, like, on our dining room chairs, like, big thing of white paper on the back, on top of another thing of white paper, with white paper, like, taped across the top and two pieces of white paper. Big paper. This isn't, like, printer paper. This is, like, big.
Especially he had to go to the store and buy it special.
Well, because he's full of surprises, he actually had this paper. He's an artist as well, so he has some of these things. He had this big
pad. Because you're essentially making, like, a white cube that will reflect all of the light evenly onto the object.
And it'll bounce and it'll diffuse itself properly. And yes, exactly. So there's no weird shadows, as you say. There's no line that you need to remove. It's just
drive yourself
flat.
Crazy with Photoshop later.
Yeah. Actually, do you guys remember when we took Photoshop and the first thing that our instructor said was, the first thing I can teach you about Photoshop is take better pictures.
Yeah.
So you don't actually have to use Photoshop.
I've just spent hours in Photoshop fixing
just
it.
Just take better pictures. And that's like the number one thing I remember about that
good
class,
lesson,
which is a great lesson. So 9 times out of 10, taking better pictures means using better lighting. And it is, unless you have a lighting kit, which you can rent for a few hundred dollars.
Yeah.
Or you can buy for another few hundred dollars.
Yeah.
So it was an experience. I thought this would be like a 2-hour job. It was like the better part of my day. I spent doing this.
Oh,
but the
man.
Pictures I think are good. I didn't like follow up and look at them because I had to like just close my
camera away.
And assume everything worked out.
Yeah. You look at them tomorrow or something.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. So, but anyway.
Well, that's good. You got it done?
Yeah. It was a bit of a learning curve, but. Yeah, like I said, my husband does this.
Bless him.
Kind of pretty on the reg. He knows what it's like to set up a studio and what a studio can look like and how valuable lighting is when you're trying to take a goddamn photo. Even of a teeny little something.
Yeah. Fits in the palm of your hand.
Yeah, I hope it'll turn out. Like I said, I haven't looked at the photos. I looked at them on the screen, obviously. And my camera's pretty good.
Yeah.
And the settings were pretty good. We had to take some photos last weekend at the factory.
At work.
At work. And that was a stressful situation to have to like do it in front of people and take a photograph of another person.
And ask them to do it. And
And then I didn't have the settings right. And they looked okay when I looked on my little, 2x3-inch screen that's on my camera.
Quickly
and then you
isn't
go,
doing
yeah,
it.
And then you go and look at your computer and you're like, oh, these are horrible. These are blurry and out of focus.
Yes.
And we'll need to do these again. So the second round, I think, is better, but...
Here's hoping.
One day, I will be good at that. I'll be well-versed.
Well, so you're getting your practice. You get your 10,000 hours in.
Yes.
Right?
I've got about 5 now, so...
Yeah, there you go.
On my way.
Adding up.
We'll get there. We'll get there.
Good times.
I keep forgetting that, like, failure is how you learn how to do things properly.
So yes, failure is... Okay.
Failure is good most of the
part of the process.
Time. Yeah.
Yeah.
So... I'm trying to be okay with that and,
move past
these
it.
These are lessons, not mistakes. They're lessons.
You're getting better.
Yeah.
Not maintaining awfulness.
Yeah. Yeah. Taking a bunch of bad pictures is just a way to learn how to take a bunch of good pictures.
Exactly.
That's all.
Exactly. That's how it works.
Anyway, hopefully that's how it works. I don't know how many times you have to fail before you start doing things properly, but
oh boy.
I suppose it's different for everyone.
That's the rub right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Until you just say, forget it!
Forget it!
Done. But not so far. Not so far.
Well, good that you're not discouraged.
Yeah. And it was neat. It was like, oh, okay, well, this actually is how much work goes into this. Like, when we do a photo shoot for work, it's like, you don't see the prep that goes into when you walk into the studio and everything. Like, the lights are set up, the diffusers are set up.
In fact, you just have a studio available.
And they have a studio available. And we don't
see... With a white background and these huge lights and diffusers and whatever
stands. The painting of the walls.
Yeah, she has to paint the wall every time because it has to be white and you can't have little dirty footprints all over it.
And it can't be just any kind of white. It has to be the right kind of white because...
To work with the lights.
The lights won't work with that. So all that kind of stuff when you walk into a professional studio... You don't see all that
show up.
They have done it before you walk in, or they should anyway. So having to sort of figure that part out with guidance, which much appreciated guidance.
Trial and error and guidance.
And we tried a few things that did not work. A couple things that did start to work. So And then I just like plug in a podcast and take 60 photos. Go nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, hopefully they work. We'll see. It's a teaser or something. Secret project.
Keep listening here. Watch this space.
Yeah.
See what's coming.
Yeah. Maybe I'll just fail too many times and I'll be like, fuck it.
Oh, this never happened.
Forget it.
Yeah. Never mind.
Big old never mind.
Yeah. I don't see that happening, but.
No, but I hope not.
Anyway.
Oh, well.
What's new with you? What's going on?
I did not leave the house for 1 second today.
I only did to come here.
Got dressed at 3 p.m. And by get dressed, I mean put a bra on.
Me too. I had a shower. And I put.
I didn't even get that far.
I put jeans on.
I changed my underwear and put on a bra.
Good for you.
Call it a day.
No, I'm impressed you put on a bra.
One of the kids was sick. So we stayed home with Poppy. And then we stayed home. Was it yesterday or Saturday? Today's Monday. But there was another day where I had this whole setup with Margot, the 3.5-year-old, about what it's art thing. I'm still trying so hard to get her into doing art and crafts. And she is, no, she's like 30% into it.
Only
30? And I'm like 170% into it.
She's, are you sure she's yours?
Seriously. Oh my gosh, guys, I have this idea. We're going to make this garland out of toilet paper rolls. It's going to be great. There's like a billion things we could do. So I just gave her options. I even made a little like parts of it so she would know what it would look like. So that would motivate her to then do. She doesn't fucking care. So I made a super cute toilet paper roll garland with paint and butcher's twine. It was super cute. It's in my living room right now.
Where do you paint? Where do you do the painting?
Just on the toilet. You just take the toilet paper rolls.
Okay.
Paint them, whatever. Like, we just did, like, splotches of whatever. So they're, like, just colorful.
Like, with a paintbrush situation?
Yeah. They're just tempera paints. Like, just kid Crayola paints. And I had these ideas about, like, Mod Podging or white gluing tissue paper on them or adding fucking stickers or drawing on top or whatever. Markers, like, making it more multimedia. We only got to the painting. I might have to add some stickers later because I love me some stickers. At least we have that in common. Margaret really likes stickers.
I was going to say, she takes after you on that
front.
Yes.
I've always loved stickers. I have had a sticker collection my entire life. I'm 37 years old and I still have a sticker collection. I still have stickers that I will not put on anything because I just want to have them. They're still in the original packaging because nothing is good enough to put them on. So I'm just going to hold on to them just in case.
In case what?
To see if I find the right thing to put them on, which never happens. You just hang. It's like fabric. Like you try to buy fabric to like make a thing, and then nothing's ever good enough. Or you're afraid you're gonna fuck it up, and then what are you gonna do with this fabric? Cut up pieces of fabric. You're fucked.
Yeah, that is a real. That is a real.
It's a real thing. So anyway, I made that. I'm working on more. Oh, there's still time. But man, I really want this kid. I have an idea to maybe like do some egg dyeing this week.
Oh, right, for Easter.
For Easter, but I have to buy white eggs because all I have is brown eggs now. I guess some white eggs. And again, like, put, like, confetti on them. And, like, there's the shaving cream tie-dye technique you can use. And I think she'd be really into that because it's just making a mess. And the fact that you could also dye eggs with it is, like...
I mean, it's a...
Like,
it's
tertiary a benefit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you get to do stuff you don't... You're not allowed to touch. And then you get to make a mess with it. And also you dye some eggs. So we'll see about that with Easter coming up. But yeah, I'm just spinning my wheels here trying to get this kid to like, she'll cut up paper. I want to cut paper. Sure. Cool. And then we can like make a collage or like glue a thing or whatever. Get the glitter glue out. No.
Just kidding.
A combination of not caring and have the attention span of a goldfish also.
She is 3.5.
I'm trying to be reasonable with my expectations here. But I also know what other 3.5-year-olds are capable of. Mike is bullshit. I love you dearly, but your craft skills leave something to be desired, child.
Your children are going to have such a great digital archive of their life that, that they don't remember. Between the podcast, their
Dave's
hashtags.
Podcast, their Dave's hashtags. Podcast. Yeah, talking about all this stuff. Oh, well.
It's going to be great.
I love them dearly. Oh, well. Anyways, that's me just, being frustrated. But then also, like, all the art shit is out. I've got the, like, the smocks out and the paint and the thing and to put a sheet down. And, well, I'm just going to do it then.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to all this work already.
I got this great idea. I'm just going to do it then. Fuck it.
What are you going to do with your new garland?
It's hanging in my living room.
I didn't see it. You'll have to point it up when we get
upstairs. Yeah, we'll hang them. Yep, it's real pretty.
How long?
But it needs more.
How long have you been saving your toilet paper tubes for?
A couple months.
Margo has no idea how much work has gone into
this. We do have
thing.
A 3-year-old, so we'd go through a lot of toilet paper very quickly. And a 1-year-old who just loves to, like, spin it.
Yeah.
Like, you know you have a toddler when there's just a pile of unrolled toilet paper just on your counter. Because it's still perfectly fine.
Yes, yeah.
But she's unrolled the entire roll.
Right.
And there's just a big mound. No, just a big mound of it. Oh, my God. Dave was brushing Margo's hair the other day, and there was a bunch of, like, weird fluff in her hair after a bath. And Dave's like, what the fuck? Going on, and like it's all coming out, but it's just these white bits. And then Margo's like, "Oh yeah, Poppy threw a bunch of toilet paper in the bath, so there's toilet paper dissolved in the bath, all got in her hair." And then Dave's like brushing it out. It was unused toilet paper, but still. And then Margo's like, "Yeah, it was toilet paper the whole time. Yeah, whatever."
Yeah, Dad, don't you know how to bath time?
Come on. Yeah, I totally let her put it in her and encouraged her to do it and asked for more afterwards. Oh boy.
Anyway. It's a fun age, though.
Oh, there's a lot going on. But you find it after the fact. Like, you're both alive and you're not screaming. Okay, everything's fine, right?
No. Turns out those standards are slightly, just slightly too low.
No. Turn your head 90 degrees the other direction and there's just like an explosion.
Like your kid just standing on top of a TV stand. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. That'll happen.
That'll happen.
These kids.
Anyway, children are our future. Watch this segue. Children are our future. While we're on the topic of the future, this week we decided to continue our glimpse into our crystal ball of what the world of fashion is going to look like in the next 5, 10, 50, 100 years. I don't know if we'll go that far.
No.
Probably like
even that. We can't see that far.
Oh, man.
We That's can some, like, dream.
Sci-fi but... shit. What does Isaac Asimov have to say about that? But
last week we talked mostly about manufacturing and the sort of larger scale technology and how it can work and how
like industry stuff.
Yeah. But this conversation is going to be, or at least we're going to start this conversation with more of a focus on the selling floor of whatever that means, digital or brick and mortar or whatever, and all that goes into that and what we sort of foresee based on what we're seeing right now, how that's going to look, and what we can hopefully do to make things better. This is a weird one because it's a different kind of trend. It's a little harder to see. Like, it's easier to see it as with all things in hindsight, how things have changed, but it's much harder when you're in the middle of it to see what's going to happen in the future because it's a longer and slower process, I think.
And we're in such a weird spot with it now where the people are just, like, trying so much shit and seeing what sticks, you know? Like, you throw in a bunch of spaghetti noodles on the kitchen cupboard and they may or none, like, who knows what's going to actually stick around and what will actually, what's just a flash in the pan, what's a weird...
And everything is sort of transitioning,
thingy,
too.
Yeah. And what's actually going to shape the future of how we shop and how we buy... And how stores interact with us, you know? It's very weird. Because stores themselves have looked the same.
Yep.
You know, like there's clothes on the wall and on rails and they're folded on tables. And like there's only so many different ways you can like
present
the clothes themselves. I don't know how much inventing or they can do with that.
Yeah, that's true, isn't
you know?
It? Although the way that those larger stores, big department stores, they have different ways of displaying things and selling things. The way that they look is different, certainly, than when they started, for sure.
Mm.
But you're right. There's not
because there's that like much there's difference. The display, like there's visual merchandising and displays and stuff, and that's changed and that's cool and that's really artistic and that you can do a million things with. But like flipping through a rail.
Yeah,
you know
how many ways can you
maybe
hang a dress?
Maybe they'll have robots walking around wearing the clothes.
I just imagined like this like conveyor belt like in the ceiling that like whenever someone pulls a size out, the next size comes down. I was like,
well, I was gonna say along those same lines is things like vending machines and items of convenience.
Ah.
Like, are you gonna go through a Subway? you know,
things
train
you
platform.
Don't necessarily have to try on or give too much thought to, but that you need.
Yeah,
because Uniqlo like has vending machines. I mean, they're a gimmick now, right?
But I wonder how much that kind could of thing potentially. Will, I mean, in Japan, they have that kind of
stuff.
Vending
machines for everything.
Yeah, but I wonder about. Again, like the, like a basic T-shirt or like
underwear.
You can get an umbrella in a vending machine. You can, yeah. I mean, at bowling alleys, you can get a pair of socks in a vending machine next to your Cheetos and your Snickers bars. So I wonder how much of that kind of thing will like move beyond gimmick and
just be a regular thing.
Be a regular thing at, you know, places of where large numbers of people congregate, like
so that
travel
aren't a
locations
store.
That aren't a store, that are connected to a store, obviously, or connected to a brand.
Sure,
like,
sure, sure.
Like
but they're
socks,
not in a store.
Your underwear, a like just a simple cotton button-down men's shirt.
Sure. And if you know in that brand you're a size whatever, size M, and you just go over and punch.
Or even something like on
whatever.
The street.
Well, because
like,
even now they have like at airports they have electronics vending machines, mm-hmm. or you can buy headphones and Game Boys or whatever, right? You can buy all that shit in there.
Yeah, I wonder.
Because that's if you don't have to worry about size or anything. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like clothing. You're just like, oh, I need headphones. Well, beep, up, boop. Here's $20. Give me headphones.
Or even a thing like on the big stores, even as an extension of a brick and mortar store in malls and stuff. Our malls are dying, I'm sure.
Mm.
They have a time limit for sure.
Yeah.
But even if you, like you said, like Uniqlo, they have vending machines. Are they on the outside of the store? Like, is there a vending machine next to the parking entrance where you're like, you know what? I don't need to go all the way upstairs. I can get my turtleneck here. I know what size I am.
Yeah.
That might be, I mean, there's no salespeople. All you need to do is find a way to take people's money and restock it when it sells out. The same as a pop can machine.
Yeah. And you could potentially like have a touch screen on the front where like you could just have the lookbook or something and you can flip through it because you could see what it looks like on a person.
Yeah.
And you could potentially choose. And then you could get specifics, too, if you need the measurements or something, too. It could give you more information about each garment. And that's, it's not like, it would have to be like an analog book or something, like an old school phone book. Like, it could be a touchscreen. You can have all this information on everything available. And then you just beep, up, boop.
Yeah. Actually.
Midi-length pleated skirt is yours.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Speaking of that, I just saw, now that you say that, I just saw this thing on Everlane. If you're not familiar with Everlane, look them up. They're a cool company. But they have just launched an underwear line that we were just talking about. Yes. I'm really excited. But they had at their like pop-up sort of launch party thing in New York, they had a vending machine like that. And it was like a series of, like a quiz sort of. And you answer a series of questions about your personal style and your, you know, your dressing habits and
your
comfort, comfortable and all
this
stuff. And based on your questions, they would spit out.
They would recommend a type of underwear.
Well, they would give it to you, like event, but it was like a vending machine. So you, it was like a touchscreen thing where you like.
I like a high
like this,
leg,
I like this.
And I like a whatever.
And then it'd be like, cool, you get the bikini
crotchless, whatever.
Yeah.
Strawberry flavored.
I like flesh mesh. What do you have?
Yeah. What do you got for me?
But yeah, so I wonder if that's...
Yeah, it would be interesting to see, like you said, like a subway platform or like, I don't know, outside Starbucks or something.
Or even on the outside of a store of like The Gap, or Gap Kids clothes, I feel like this could be a big time thing for you need two onesies for your kid, lost a pair of socks off your kid on the stroller when you were walking down the street, just hit up the vending machine and get a fresh couple of pairs of socks.
Yeah. They do have them at IKEA, the ball pit, because you have to have socks on. So they do actually have like a gumball machine and then like the little plastic.
Those little
containers or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a little pair of white socks in them and whatever for a dollar. You can get your kid a pair of socks so they can go to the ball pit.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, just that on a way bigger scale.
Yeah. That but more.
Just a giant gumball machine. I think it'll catch on.
Full of statement necklaces.
Yeah.
You don't know which one you're going to get.
Yeah.
People are
get
very
stuck
into that.
And you have to like reach your hand up.
Well, you have
it.
To put your kid's hand up there because they're smaller.
Yes,
right?
Yes, that's right.
Or magic claw. Ooh, you don't know what you're going to get?
Ooh, that's fun.
Oh,
I bet that,
man.
I bet someone's tried to do that. I bet that's been a marketing idea
somewhere. Oh, for sure.
For sure. Excuse me.
Very interesting.
But there's other things that are, there's not just vending machines.
I was going to say, we've talked a lot about, there's more to it than vending machines.
There's more to it. But it's obviously changing a lot with, I mean, the marketing side of things is changing constantly. But if the if stores are dying, stores generally right now are like the brick and mortar stuff is having a weird moment.
Yeah, it's
right now.
Yeah.
And it's sort of,
they're having to rethink.
They're having
some
a bit
things.
Of an identity crisis, I think, is what's happening.
Yeah. And they're, I think this is where it's also, this is a part where they're just trying a bunch of shit. They're trying to figure it out. And a lot of it's like weird gimmicks and weird stunts that you're trying to pull people, or like the collaborations or like celebrity stuff or that sort of thing. You just try to get people in your doors. But there's more, that's not going to keep people coming in. Like, that'll get people coming in your store once.
Yeah.
Right? If you, like this Everlane underwear thing, like you'd only, you know,
and Everlane
would you
is,
go in again?
Is a neat example because Everlane is primarily an online platform, but they have, I mean, they don't have to, but they do have two locations. There's one in San Francisco and I think.
And more and more online brands are doing that too. We had a friend in New York recently and she said the giant Warby Parker store is fucking massive. And they are already well established. They are not going anywhere, the Warby Parker, but they've decided that they're going to spend the money and effort to find a retail space that is huge in New York City, downtown, and have an actual store.
But I wonder how much of that is based on dollar sales or if that comes out of the marketing budget. Like, I wonder
if where
the
does that
sales
come from? Yeah.
That they're generating from that location are paying for it to be there, or if the marketing department
other,
is paying for them to be there.
Like,
which line of the budget does that
come out of?
From? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it would not surprise me if their online sales are 10,000 times better than the sales that they're getting in that store. Thus, they can afford to have a store.
It's amazing how people have gotten over having to see things in person. Like, I understand, like, some, you know, I'm still hesitant to buy jeans online, that sort of thing. But, you know, I'll buy shoes online. I'll buy tops online. They don't have to worry about size-wise. Or you'd be sure, like we've said in our past episodes, be sure to read the return policy for shipping.
Yeah.
So you know your return policies. So if you do try something on, you can send it back, or you know how to send it back and how much it'll cost you.
Or if you get a thing that is, you know, sometimes you can buy the same exact item from the store and the size
and it's
medium
changed
and
2 years
will,
later.
Will change, will feel different than the last. I mean, it's all made by human people. So that
or the gray fabric
happens.
Is slightly different feel than the black fabric because they're two different fabrics and they came from two different places. Yeah. So you're getting the same t-shirt, but it's not the same. But I'm this of all the things to like, you know, roll the dice and see what you're going to get is glasses. Like, people are totally fine with buying glasses online. Something where the fit and the look and people are real. As someone who's worn glasses almost her whole life, you get really attached to them. You have very particular requirements and everybody's head is a different shape. You think your boobs are a different shape. People's heads are different shapes. Like, it's crazy how people are totally fine. But listen, I have like six pairs of glasses I've bought online in the last few years, and some fit better than others, and some are like better than others. But still, like
you're right. That's
a thing
one.
That people are like, okay.
But how much of that has to do with the fact that that pair of glasses is $100 instead of $350?
Yeah.
Eggs. Yep.
And if you live in the States, not if you live in Canada, thanks to Warby Parker. They do have the try-on thing, and then you can send them back for free.
Do they have the digital,
you choose the thing.
Put your selfie up there?
Yeah, that never works great, though.
No.
Mind you, I haven't done it in a few years. I'm sure it's improved drastically in the past few years. Because you can match up the points of the face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know those makeup apps where you can like put makeup on? I did it
to
to my baby when Margo was very little.
I've never done one. They're weird.
I did her makeup like Mimi from the Drew Carey show.
That's great.
But you can line up where the pupils are, where the corners of the eyes are. Like, you can really map out your face so you can get an actual, it's not just a weird stamp you're putting on a shitty picture of yourself you took with your fucking Motorola Razr phone.
Right.
You know? So I'd be willing to go with
a Sharpie and just drawing circles around it. It's a little more sophisticated.
That'll work.
Oh, these are a cat eye.
So interesting. Yeah, see about that. But like, that these online brands are now taking up retail space.
Retail
spaces are taking up online space and online places are taking up retail space.
Yeah. I don't know. I would still...
Any way to get your money, man. Whatever it takes.
I know. I'm
to
still,
get your money.
I usually still need to try stuff on.
Baby, I'll get your money.
Baby, I'll want your money.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. It is a weird time of that right now. Like Frankenoak, for example, is a local, started as a menswear company, and then they did really well. They're doing really well. And then they launched a women's collection, and there's a store in Gastown here in Vancouver that used to only had the men's
stuff, yeah.
And then enough women sort of signed on to it. And it is an online brand.
Yeah.
And they opened a brick and mortar store. And then they launched the women's collection. And so I like went into the store to try some stuff on and feel the fabrics
look at it,
and
yeah.
blah, blah, blah. Because the men's
tags.
Stuff is really nice. And they're like, oh, no, we don't carry the women's stuff here. And I was like, bitch.
Are you kidding me?
And I wonder how many people went in and complained about it because now they do.
Yeah.
And they have, you know, they update it every season. It's like a really nice collection. It's not comprehensive. There's much more
no,
stuff
online.
No, it's
like a third of the store is women's.
Mm-hmm.
And 2/3 of it is men's.
But I mean, for what their women's collection is, there's more women's
oh,
stuff
sure.
online than
yeah.
than what they have in
store. Well, even places like Old Navy, like all the maternity stuff, all of the tall stuff, Gap has all of their underwear online only. They do not have any in any stores. Or maybe in like New York City or LA or something.
Wow,
like weird. People don't even know that these brands carry these things. Like, oh, where do you get your Gap underwear from? I never see it in the store. I'm like, because it's only online. It's very
wow,
weird.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's because of
like
fashion.
The plus size things
maybe.
Too. I don't know. There's just not enough room, especially somewhere like Old Navy that has so much stock. That fucking store is so full of stock all the time, and there's so much turnover. Like their regular lines have like hundreds of pieces every season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And then they do plus, and then they do maternity, and then they do petite, and then they do whatever.
Right.
Right? There's just not enough room in the store. And the thing is, unfortunately...
Emma like, and I are both starting to cry.
Seriously.
Thinking about it.
But like plus size women, they want to try on clothes too.
Yeah.
Maternity, you want to fucking see the stuff mm-hmm. before you try it on.
Plus size women get a raw deal most of the time.
So many fronts. But at least, a brand like Old Navy has like infinity returns and like it's all free and shit. So there's that too. Mm-hmm. So you can order a pair of pants in three sizes and send two back if you don't know what's going on.
Right.
If you don't know how pants work, you just figure it out and send
these
two
pants
back.
Only have two legs. How did that happen?
Oh, boy.
Well, what do you think there, Mr. My store is only online. How do you see it changing? Or is it changing? Or does it need to change?
I think that in the last year that we've had our store, it's been very difficult to convince people to buy luxury online.
Mm.
Because we don't have like that brand cachet of like,
right.
like Vetements or Supreme or any of those like hype brands that people drop mad money on just to have, and they don't need to try it on; they'll just buy it.
Yeah. Not yet, honey.
Yeah. Well, not yet. Yeah. but. Maybe like to speak maybe to that trend of online brands doing pop-ups or opening stores, maybe just the idea that people can, that their customers can go somewhere to see the product in person, that and also get that experience and get that feedback from the staff of what people are saying in the store, because you really can't, you don't know what people are saying about your product when they're looking at it online.
That's true.
Yeah,
I read reviews a lot, but you don't get that same.
It's not
like
the same.
Salespeople,
and not everybody
can be
has
really
reviews. Yeah,
yeah.
Salespeople can be really helpful because they, lots of times, hopefully, are getting trained properly about mm-hmm.
what you're selling,
specifics and the, you know, the features of your collection or whatever.
Yeah,
that you just don't get.
And they get spoken to directly, and they also get to overhear things.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
And they're also sort of a.
You could watch people interact with the pieces.
Yeah, and there's in some stores anyways, there's no commission where it's like this person is going to benefit from you buying this thing over this other thing.
Mm.
Yeah.
So they have nothing to lose by giving you the information that they've learned, right? Like
they're getting paid regardless or
they're getting
or whatever,
paid regardless they get their or they're going to get or... the sale or whatever. But they get to learn about it and get excited about it. Like we've done at my last job, we used to do sales like visits and go see retailers and stuff to talk to the salespeople on the floor who are actually talking to the customers. Mm. And one of the things we would always say is, like, listen to your customers and tell us what they say. Because if we're doing something wrong or we're doing something right that we can do more of, like, let us know. Because you guys are on the front lines and we're, you know, we have 10,000
other things to do. Are people always touching this but never buying it? Like, what's the...
People
are attracted to things but never buy them. And then people are always buying this. And, you know, you only get so much information when you look at the actual number breakdown of what sold and what hasn't, but that only gives you so much of the picture.
Yeah. But also, whenever we would go and do those visits, sales would increase because the staff would be excited to meet a designer or meet a representative of the brand.
Yeah.
And that they're taking time to come and see their little store or whatever and learn something new or something cool or get a different perspective on this thing where it's not just, you know, a bunch of t-shirts that you're going to fold 1,200 times in a day. It's like, oh no, there's a reason that this t-shirt is here and here's what it is. Let me tell you about it.
And here's the person who made it happen.
And online, you don't get that.
No.
Or you don't get it in the same way. You don't get that. There's no excitement. Yeah. You have to create your own excitement. Or you have to get it from the webpage somewhere. Yeah.
The biggest sales that we've had through the online store are because people have seen the piece in real life.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest motivator. Because they're like, oh my God, like it looks amazing in a photo, but it like does nothing compared to seeing it in real life. Like the embroidered pieces that we do, and the ones with the fringe and the beads, and like seeing somebody wearing that,
and moving and
living in it, it's completely different than seeing it static in a photo.
Yes,
that's like as pretty lit. As the picture is. Yeah,
I wonder then how many people will, or if there will be this trend the same way of fashion. Although fashion shows now are more of an event for insiders. Well, yeah. They're a different kind of event. It's not for buyers anymore.
Yeah.
It's for publicity.
Just people to hold their phones
up Instagram too. Followers and stuff. But I wonder then if that will be a thing of...
If the trunk show and the pop-ups and that sort of thing might...
Yeah, instead of... Or for smaller brands anyways, doing a pop-up shop or like a trunk show, like you say, and get, you know, everybody can come and touch the things and try them on.
Meet
and then
the
you
designer
can go to the store
and
order them online or pre-order or whatever in lieu of doing a fashion show. Where you can still have models.
Well, even things
you
like that Everlane thing. Like, I'm kicking myself because I went to Nordstrom here had an Everlane pop-up last year or 2 years ago even. No, it was last year maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was last year, yeah.
And I went just to go see the stuff in person.
Yeah.
And I tried a couple things on and then I didn't pull the trigger that day and I said, oh, I'll buy it online later. And then I never did. And the fucking crop pants. Didn't get them.
Oh. Sold out.
Oh, man.
Dang.
They'll be back. But anyway, I think they're already all back. But anyway, like, I went to the store to check it out.
Yeah, I got some stuff from them.
And especially things you want to try on. But like, oh, they only had the green in my size, but I really wanted the black. I'll just go try on the greens and we'll go back and buy the black online later.
Yeah.
But it's nice to see, and you see the branding and you see the setup and you can see the labels and, you know, like, it's a whole thing.
And you can talk to a person.
Yeah. About it.
Yeah, I wonder
shop
how much
other people too, which is nice.
I wonder how much people, like you say, are getting trained for that not to be a necessary part of this experience anymore.
Yeah,
I wonder, because who knows, or who knows what steps brands will take to improve that, like shopping for furniture on Article over the last couple of months. We bought a couch from Article, which is a purely online store. You don't get to sit in
the
couch.
Go check it out and touch it and sit on it.
They have a zillion reviews. But their online customer service experience was phenomenal. They had like an instant chat with someone right away.
A few different places. I was at somewhere recently, maybe Sephora or something. They had live chat with somebody.
Yeah, and you didn't have to wait. You didn't. They weren't like popping up every 5 seconds. It was like, if you have a question, chat, and you know,
open this window or whatever. Yeah.
Every single question I had, they had an immediate answer, or they had like, let me ask Adam in whatever, and he'll tell me. And then 40 seconds would go by, and they would have an answer, and then they email you that conversation, so you don't.
Oh, sweet! So you don't have to take notes or anything.
Record. Yeah, you have a record of the things that you asked and the answers that they gave you, just for your own sanity, your own
cool.
record,
transcript or whatever. Yeah, chat log.
So I wonder how much of that, and then they're not paying for a huge showroom 500 times over in every store. They're not paying for salespeople to be out on the floor waiting for customers to walk in the door. Yeah. So they convert, or the way that they phrase it, same as they, like, as Everlane does, they sort of take that out of the cost of your thing. So this $5,000 couch is actually only $3,000 because
they're not paying all that overhead.
We're not making, we're only going to make a bunch of them. When they sell, we'll make more. And we're not going to, we're going to make the one for you. And it's not going to go to a store. It's not going to get sat on by 800 people. We're
not going to sit in a warehouse for who knows how long.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not going to have to necessarily go and pick it up from IKEA and hopefully you have all the right pieces and hopefully
you didn't forget a box.
Yeah. And you have the tools to put it. I mean, all that shit. So,
yeah. Interesting.
I wonder how much of that will translate to the online experience, because if without that, you don't have, you just don't have the same connection with the company or the brand or the thing you're buying.
Well, there's even brands now that theoretically, I think this is kind of more, this is like the consumer electronics show, like the CES they have is in Vegas every year or something, where they always have like advancements and shit. And I think this is I heard somebody talking about this, where stores are thinking of,
when were you in Vegas at this?
I heard about it. It's from there. I heard about it.
You plan a secret getaway to go.
I wish. Just go to like,
I was going to say
virtual reality masks. It's like masks. See, I'm super on top of it. So I'm super into it.
Check out the new N64 game. Like the controllers in yellow now.
Oh, anyways,
so you guys finger on the button. You in here? We got pulse it
right here.
I remember how revolutionary the see-through
case was.
The see-through controller was, where you could see all of the doodads the pieces.
And the one that had the little like magnifier that flipped out with the light.
Oh yeah, so you could play at night.
Yeah, because it should be in bed.
Still in the dark.
Yeah. I remember when my first Game Boy I ever had wasn't backlit. It didn't have the light inside of it. So you had to get a light that attached.
Yes, that was it. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
You couldn't play in the dark.
Wasn't that the whole thing about a light? Sega Genesis and Sonic the Hedgehog was that it was backlit?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't that a thing? You guys, this was the 1990s?
Yeah.
Mid-90s?
Yeah, Heaven wasn't even there yet. It's fine.
Heaven wasn't around.
Anyway. Brands are now trying to find ways to combine your online shopping habits and the in-store habits. There's this thing about facial recognition technology getting so advanced. I mean, things like Snapchat filters, that is facial recognition, you know? And it's freaking, you're giving me like Groucho Marx eyebrows. Like that's what we're using technology for now, which is great. Don't get me wrong. Barfing rainbows. I love it.
But Big Brother.
That's not what they're using that technology for.
That is not what they're using for. But this is the thing. Like you could potentially walk into a store, have the cameras recognize your face, and say, oh, this is Katie.
She bought this.
This is her order history. Up on the screen, we're going to suggest something. You like blue chambray shirts. We're going to suggest, look at this beaut, this new shirt dress we have. And then I walk in 30 seconds later and I like florals and they're going to show me something different because they know they can personalize the experience
based on your dumb shopping history.
Yeah, and the information that you have given to them through your order history. And then obviously they would need to have a picture of you and like there'd be multiple steps before that to get to this point. But isn't that weird?
It is terrifying.
That sounds like Wall-E to me, you know, like that Wall-E movie where they're all on that spaceship and they're all just like blobs.
Yeah.
They're just these passive receptacles for information. Yeah. And
this is Black Mirror for real.
Oh, for sure. But like for cute clothes.
But like what's to stop these gigantic companies, like say like Gap puts this technology in their stores, like they're gonna sell your data. They're like gonna data mine us.
Well, hey man, maybe after all this Facebook bullshit, they're gonna start clamping down on some shit. So I don't know. I'm hoping something good is gonna happen out of this information leaks and stuff.
Speaking of that bullshit,
it's only the beginning of it.
It is only the beginning. And everyone who does
me
that,
and Evan,
you and Evan, you too specifically, you guys pay attention. You put that information, you have that choice to put it out there. And Facebook has done a super good job of letting you forget that.
Yes.
And
lulling like, you into this sense of
intimacy
and yeah. innocuousness. Yes. Like, this information is just for fun. It's just for social interactions. It's just you and your mom having yeah. to talk about baby hippos. It's fine. I'm not speaking from personal experience. I don't know what that is.
But you got like, you don't have to put your phone number. You don't have to put your address. You don't put your work history. You don't have to put things you like.
Yeah.
You don't have to like a band. You don't have to like a store. All of that stuff that you are doing is someone is using that information.
Oh yeah, and we're now at a point now where you can't be naive to think that.
I mean, let's hope so.
Oh, here's hoping after all this, especially in the last week where all this shit's happened.
Yeah,
but that this information
I've not been tuned in. I have no idea what's happening
with Cambridge Analytica.
No.
Oh. Okay. Well, we're gonna have to.
At 30 seconds.
You know what? It's. It's basically that. It's basically
they're using your information for elections. Political purposes
yep.
and how to specifically
influence
yes. and market whatever individual candidates or political parties or
and
platforms
to
you
based on your
information that they've obtained illegally or not.
We're still trying to
figure out whether it's illegal or not.
And then they'll sort of regurgitate the same information to you in different ways, but. Deliberately, so that you'll see the same kinds of things over and over and over again from different locations.
It's like
a bunch
of stuff. It's like yeah. fake news.
Yeah. It's
oh my God.
Legit fake. And it's influencing elections, which is why it's a big problem.
Social media brainwashing.
Yes. Yes. So it's not just telling you that, you know, Everlane has a new Chambray shirt dress that Katie's going to love.
It goes all the way to the top.
Goes all the way to the top.
Oh, boy.
Goes all the way.
Look at the Russians.
Don't yeah, literally.
I mean, don't click on anything Russian. Anyway, yeah.
Let's just all move to the fucking woods.
Oh, boy. Right. I have cute outfits in the woods, I guess.
Oh, my God. I'd make so many cute outfits to live in the woods.
I always wonder about, honey, let's talk. Cause I always wonder what happens.
Like these pants. I'd totally wear these pants in the woods.
Ooh, those are cute.
Yeah. Got some like brown yeah. khakis.
They're like it's like a moss green.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Brown and green. Green
these
and brown.
Are my butch pants.
Butch, please.
As I sit like cross-legged.
Like a fancy lady.
Like yeah. sitting on my feet. Like Pollyanna sitting under a tree.
Which is exactly I would have described. You for sure, right?
Yeah,
oh, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, but I wonder too. Speaking of like Snapchat filters and stuff, I this might just be some conspiracy theory bullshit that I'm just now coming up with
right now.
But sweet. Right now, I wonder about the stories, like Instagram stories, and
what happens to those?
What they don't, I can't imagine
they just disappear.
Like, where are they going, and what's
there's servers in Nevada that are else or some
that are. Buried under the mm-hmm. desert.
Peru or some, I don't know what's going on.
That we're all, you know, paying money to keep cold so they yeah. don't fry into the, yeah.
They're all keeping tabs on us in case they need to blackmail us later.
It's crazy. That's why I don't have selfies. You might see one picture
one
of
in
me
a blue
with my
moon.
Face
yep.
on Instagram and Facebook. I sure as hell didn't put it up there if it is, but anyway.
This makes me secure in my decision of only posting dumb shit. Like, there's this meme I posted on Facebook the other day. It was like an old school Donald Duck cartoon, and he wakes up and his eyes are all tiny, and he goes, oh man, you just found out all your information's leaked from Facebook. Yeah. And then he goes back to sleep smiling, and he goes, and then you just found out you're a garbage person anyway. So yeah. Oh, you're as worthless as your information's as worthless as you are.
You know what? All I need
that's
is
why
puppies.
I don't post that's any actual information. It's just stupid stuff that is.
Yeah.
Anyway. I don't think it's going to come back to bite me.
Who knows?
It's fine.
Who knows?
My kids hit a Ziploc container on me last night. It's fine. That's the stuff I'm posting about. Me looking for a Ziploc box or a Tupperware container. That's the riveting subject matter that's on my Instagram
dare
stories.
They? How dare
I found them, though.
Fuckers.
Those bullshit kids.
Bullshit kids.
I need those Ziploc containers.
Oh, man. Okay, should we do some quick predictions?
We've been bullshitting
and talking.
For at least yeah, an hour already.
Yeah. Okay, let's each do a quick one. What we predict for the buying and selling in the next, let's say, 10 years. Abby, you go first. Putting the pressure on you because I need to think of something.
I don't know, the only thing that comes to mind is like a Cher Horowitz style.
like,
oh yeah,
ooh, there's
like in, it's not yeah. paper dolls, but it's like you put your picture in, you can flip through different outfits and you can like combine different things. I know that's like that movie was 20 something years
there's
old,
there's already like, but, like magic
a digital
mirrors.
Version of that for
yes,
sure
exactly like you can walk into a store, see a full length mirror of yourself, and then just see a hologram or whatever, some sort of virtual version of yourself, and then you just drag and drop pairs of yeah. pair of pants on.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
And what does it look like with happen. This top? And what does it look like with this top?
And then you would, that's a good, that would be a good incentive for the salespeople, because every, I mean, the whole point, the whole thing with sales is
convincing
units per purchase
you.
Or yeah. units, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Unit per transaction, UP.
UP.
UPT, UP, whatever it is.
Yeah. But TSDs. how many yeah. things your, each
STIs.
Customer buys? No, no, not that.
I
hope
remember.
You're not getting STIs at a store.
Just don't try on just body suits at American yeah, Apparel yeah. circa 2016.
Don't travel back in time and try on bathing suits at American Apparel.
When we can do time travel.
Wait, is that your prediction? It's time travel? So we can go back and get all those things from American Apparel?
We can load up on t-shirts, all yeah. those good t-shirts, all those jean shorts that were so cute. Anyway, okay, that's mine. Virtual, like, trying on stuff.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good one.
Oh.
What's mine? I think malls, it's going to be the death of the mall in the next
decade.
Maybe not 10 years, but I bet the next 20.
I bet they take up so much space.
They take up so much space. They're long and flat. We're running out of room. I think those big kind of stores, or those big kind of,
maybe ones that are
buildings?
Like in cities, like Pacific Center downtown here, that's like under a giant hotel and under a giant office building.
Yeah.
Like those might be okay. Like a lot of downtown ones. But the ones you see out in the burbs, right?
Your West Edmonton malls, your Mall of America. Like
yeah.
I think that kind of thing. Unless they can incorporate some other use of the space, essentially above those
yeah.
stores.
Like they're trying to do here in Vancouver, they're trying to do up in Oak Ridge, because there's a mall that's been there for years and years and years, but it's prime real estate, and they're trying to find a way where they can build affordable housing, that's not going to happen, or a retirement home or something in a big 10-foot, whatever, 10-story high-rise above the mall.
But I think also, yeah, and I think people are tired of that kind of experience. The malls aren't exciting anymore. There's nothing.
No.
They're not fun.
Ooh, there's a fountain. Great.
Yeah, there's the novelty
food
has
court.
Worn off big time, I think. So I think that, I mean, maybe it'll all be condos and everyone will just be shopping online.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll all be, you know, some form of vending machine.
Yeah.
or maybe it'll be, you know, a pop-up style store where you go and you try on your stuff and you order it online and then they mail it to you. You go and try something
yeah.
on.
Well, did ModCloth have that too? Like you couldn't buy it in the store. You could only go and try it on.
Yeah, I think
and
so.
And you had to go home. You couldn't. There was actually no way to purchase it in the store, but you could see it and touch it and try it on. Anyway.
Ooh. But I wonder if that trend will
because
will
the idea of people wanting to see stuff in person, I don't think is going away.
No, and I don't think it should.
No. I think there's some fluidity there. I think there's some options, some versatility and flexibility, absolutely. But that desire of humans to go and touch and see and put things on or whatever.
Because you can go and try on an outfit and buy it online and have it shipped to you in a day and a half. Like that, I think,
yeah.
like the Amazon way of doing things, I think will translate
that's
more.
Not going anywhere, I don't think.
I mean, Amazon.
People are liking it too much.
But I bet
it too easy.
But if there is any way that you know the fashion world can capitalize on that style of doing things,
mm.
I think that is probably a
way to
do
it.
Because malls are going to die; they're going to be gone. They're just too
the value of real estate.
Real estate is way too valuable.
That culture is not. Yeah.
Yeah, all the people who went to the malls in the 80s are all they're not going to the malls anymore.
Well, maybe because
they got
air conditioning. Yeah, maybe they are going to the malls just to hang out because they're old as fuck.
That's true. The malls will be the retirement centers.
Yes.
That's all it'll be.
Just move the old people in.
So the
hey,
look,
mom and dad, you're moving to the mall.
Yeah. So the H&Ms and the
Forever 21.
The Forever 21s, all those stores are going to move out and it'll be Land's End and it'll be
Tommy
you
Bahama.
Know, Eddie Bauer, Tommy Talbots, your Liz Claiborne's.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes.
10J.
Yeah.
10J.
Yes, that's my prediction.
All right. Oh, what do you think, Ducharme?
when I worked at American Apparel, rest in peace, they had just rolled out this RFID technology, radio frequency identification, and it was like there was chips in every tag that was sent with that item, and that tag was specific to that item. It was a fucking nightmare if they fell off and you couldn't find one. Or if people caught onto it and they'd cut them. Mm-hmm. They'd like take them into the fitting room and cut it and then steal the item. So we couldn't, we never knew.
Yeah.
Right.
So that was something that needed to be upgraded. But I think that kind of technology is going to be put to better use. And
well, aren't like Ferragamo heels, don't they have some sort of like crazy RFDI or ID, whatever the fuck, I don't know, so many letters.
There's a better version of that technology now where it's actually put into the product. So it's like if it's
for luxury
like a
goods,
watch
it makes sense.
Or a bag, it's like, or a
$10,000 Kelly bag or something.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like put into like the base or the sole or the hardware.
Right.
But like a t-shirt.
Cartier watch or something or whatever.
Oh, that'd be another good way to sort of curb counterfeiting. Like that would be a secure, more secure way.
Microchip your dog, you can microchip your Birkin.
Yeah. What is that? There's this technology, my friend Olivia, former guest Olivia, has one. It's like a tag where you can find, you attach it to your keys or to your phone.
We have them because Dave loses his keys. Mm-hmm. So we have a bunch at our house. Dave has one in his wallet and he has one in his keys.
Yeah. So that's basically...
People put them on their kids, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a tracking device? Yeah.
It's like a button on your phone, and then it makes the thing play a little song so you know where your keys are.
Interesting.
But that can happen to
But does it have a tracking, too? Is it like a GPS situation?
It only works... Tile has a specific technology that it only works within a certain amount of feet because it's usually you're looking for your keys inside your house.
Right.
Or something. But there's other ways if you can piggyback off of other Tile... units,
oh yeah,
you can reach a further.
Yes.
Like I know people have done it to like know when their husband's on their way home, and they know when they are in a 10-minute ETA.
Yeah,
because their Tile has reached whatever.
Yeah,
there's also other products. I'm not specifically Tile. I'm just saying Tile because that's the one I have. But yeah, there's ways because the Tile is just done through Bluetooth, and that only has a certain amount of
Bluetooth. That's the ripoff version.
Yeah,
that's the Roy Bonds of that technology.
It's the one Will Smith used. Welcome to Bluetooth.
Yeah. Will Smith.
Welcome to Earth.
This is famous
Earth. Welcome to Earth.
Okay.
I go watch Independence Day and then come back and
I am sorry. That's a very old movie. It's an old reference to have made. Will Smith hasn't done anything in a while, is my point. It's a strange connection.
He talks about Bluetooth.
I'm sorry. You're right. I missed that YouTube update.
And it was in the story. It's gone.
That's right. That's how I missed it. Hashtag Bluetooth.
Oh, man. Interesting. Well, Evan, that could potentially lead to what we can talk about another time. I don't know if it'll be next week or the week after, about actually using technology in
clothing.
Clothing and pieces and accessories and how that works. Because that's a whole other thing we could talk about next time.
Yes. Good segue. Wait for 2 weeks.
And then just hold on to your butts and we'll talk about it in 2 weeks. But potentially, because that's a whole other thing we can talk about, and there's a whole bunch of dumb, stupid stuff happening, but there's also a bunch of really cool potential stuff happening.
Yes.
With technology in clothing and garments and accessories and things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a real thing that's happening. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Anyway, you guys, we should take a...
We're at the time now where we need to take a little break.
Quick little break.
And we'll come back.
And we'll obsess.
Abby literally has a sticker on her notepad right now. I'm looking right at it.
Aha! Okay, bye! Oh, we're back, and we just took a call from superfan Leslie
and Shelly, my sisters. Leslie's wearing her Hags t-shirt right now.
Yes, hello.
Called on the break.
Yeah, FaceTiming Katie's sisters real quick.
Really nice treat. Really nice to see you
guys.
It
was really nice of them to call during the break, too.
It was perfect timing.
That worked out. So, hello. Yeah. Much love.
Have fun in the backcountry, you assholes. They're going on a girls' trip that I can't go on. I'm very sad. But
dang it.
I'm going for a visit, so it'll be all right.
You'll get some time. You'll get some ski in, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that was really funny.
Oh, it was good boy.
To see them. Oh. Anyway, we're back. We're obsessing now.
We can talk about things we're obsessing about, so that's fine.
Who wants to go first? I do. Okay, I'll do it. No one answered. I'll
jump in.
Well, mine is actually based on your recommendation that Dave told me about last week when we recorded, and it is the podcast called Atlanta Monster.
Oh yes,
which is
a true crime,
which yes. we all know I'm very much into,
very much on board with. Yeah,
It's by the same guy who did Up and Vanished. And I haven't listened to the second season, but Up and Vanished was really good until the crime was solved, and then they kept going. And I was like, you can Bye. Stop now.
We're yeah. done.
But there's like, the budget's really good. The quality is really good. The story is so insane. It's such a crazy story. It's wow. like, do we have the right guy? Is there only one guy? Who's oh. the guy? Is there multiple guys?
Oh.
What's
the deal with this guy?
Yeah. What's the deal with this guy? What's with the evidence and the not evidence, and who's lying, who's telling the
truth,
who's covering stuff up, is it the KKK, like all of this crazy shit, because it's in Atlanta in 1979. The Atlanta child murders is this sort of famous story of
it's a famous true crime story yeah
in the late 70s and early 80s, where like something like 28 young black boys were murdered. I think all but one of them were found. One of them, they never found the body.
Oh, my God.
But they're all these, like, young boys. And so they...
Somebody did something.
Yeah. Some people are lying about it or not coming forward or wow. are just hella racist or... Yeah.
Combination of all of them.
Yeah, yeah, it's really good. I'm not quite done. I've been... This is a podcast I was listening to today. I was doing all of my photos. I think there's 10 episodes, and I think I'm at like episode 8 or 9 or something.
Ooh.
But it's really good. It's
sweet.
There's tons of information. I think it came out like with Up and Vanished, Payne Lindsay is the guy who did it. But it came out like every week was a new episode when it aired.
Oh, like Serial did or something.
Yeah. So, but they're all out now, so you can listen to all of them. But nice. Yeah, it's good. It's a fucking crazy story.
Oof.
It's like not, I mean, it's heavy.
It's not a knee slapper.
Shit. Yeah. No. I mean, it's the murder of young innocent boys. So, I mean, if you're not into that,
if you know
then
that
don't
going
bother.
In, then you yeah.
don't bother. Yeah. It's not about puppies. It's called Atlanta Monster for a reason. But it's really good if you like true crime, if you like a good serial story, and it comes at it from like lots of different angles, and there's like not a lot of evidence, and there's differing opinions, and you talk to the guy, like you hear from the guy.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Anyway, it's interesting. Good. I'm very excited to see how it all wraps up. I'm trying to think of what I'm doing in the next couple of days that I can.
You sure we can fit it in?
Finish it up.
Yeah.
Like I'll be doing dishes for the next 2 hours and 14 minutes, I think.
Every single
Every
dish.
Day.
All, even the clean dishes have been washed again.
I'm doing them over. I'm doing them over. What else do we need?
Super
doing
thorough.
We're cleaning the blinds. Okay. I just cleaned the tub over. Doing it again. We're cleaning the car. Okay. It's pouring rain, but that's
inside and outside.
Yeah. Anyway, it's good. It's really good. So, Dave, awesome. Thanks for the... it was your recommendation. And
Dave was listening to it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Nice.
That's me. Quick and dirty.
Nice. I got two. I got a quick one and I got another one. Jessica Jones, season 2. Amazing. I love it. It's so great. I think I have 3 episodes left, which I'll be going upstairs and watching at least one of when we're done this.
Yeah, I've never
it's
gone
so
into
great.
It.
It's so great.
You told me I'd like it, so I'm going to...
Yes. I was thinking today about how you would like it too, because it's like, it's a superhero thing, but it's like the most unsuperhero thing ever. Like there's no fucking guy in tights. There's no super villain with like a who's an inventor with an ice gun. Like, you know, it's not right. that sort of stuff.
There's no distant planet where everything is.
No, but there's like weird people with powers and there are like a villain, but also you don't know who the villain is and are they really a villain and what are their motivations and are they just at odds with Jessica's or whatever. Like there's just a bunch of shit.
And she's a reluctant.
Yes, she's not into power, it. Right? And yeah. she's like, her character is awesome. Very complex. Very cool.
But it's a bee also, from Apartment 23, right?
Yeah.
From Breaking Bad?
Yes, yeah. Christian Ritter. Who reminds me a lot of former podcast guest Ashley Said.
Oh, yeah. She gets that.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in this role with leather jackets and ripped jeans, which is like Ashley's deal.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Which makes it look good. And Jessica makes it look good, too. But
it was also like, she's a private investigator, and it's very like,
familiar. Oh, that's
the
cool.
music and like her office and talking to like clients and stuff. Like, that's her deal. That's how she makes money. This is, she's a super, super fucking smart. Well, we and talked, also has superpowers.
Yeah, we talked a bit about it when we had Liz Vastola, who's yes. a costume designer on. Yes, yes, yes. So
every episode directed by a woman. There's a bunch of female names.
You're right. In I would like
the
it.
Credits. There's a bunch of women talking to other women about things other than a man.
That's nice.
Which is also nice. Like, it passes the Bechdel test very much so.
Oh, good.
Which is great. So anyway, like, I've been blasting through that.
Okay, I'm gonna give it a shot.
But my other obsession, I was going to just talk about that, but then I realized I have another one that I've been curating for a long time, and I don't know if I've ever talked about it.
Is it puppies? Because yes.
That's come up a couple of times. The beauty department at like Winners and Marshalls and TJ Maxx and like all these weird, I don't even, what do we call these stores? I don't even know. Like, they have a name. We're just a bunch of weird shit from all over the place.
Like a bargain
discount
bin.
Retailer?
Yeah.
Discount retailer? I don't know. But it's like
you can buy.
There's like Nordstrom Rack, but then there's like TJ. Yeah. There's food, there's sports equipment, homewares, workout clothes, toys. There's a bunch of shit.
Call it a discount retailer.
Let's call for these purposes. Anyway, we have here in Winners, which is the same as it was bought by TJ Maxx.
I almost said Riscount Detailer, which I think is a better name.
Riscount Detailer, I like that a lot.
Sorry to interrupt.
Which I said somebody, a friend of mine once called those backpacks, the Fjällräv and Kankens, the like Swedish Ravenclaw Kankles. So are those Ravenclaw Kankles really worth the money? I'm like, yes, they are. Ravenclaw Kankles. So that is what they
Shout
are.
Shout out to Ravenclaws.
Yeah, the RCs, house. Ravenclaw Kankles.
That's really that's called the spoonerism, by the way.
There you go.
When you mix the words up, when that's a spoonerism.
Or just invent your whole entirely new one. But anyway, I shop there because it's fun and they get, you know, get good. There's a bunch of shit, but every once in a while. Like, it's good for workout clothes, too, and
that's
stuff.
That's where I got my
you know?
Fancy hair dryer. That's yes. nice to get a nice
But the
butter.
Beauty selection in there. They got a lot of big brands for the longest time. There's this argan oil shampoo that I really liked, and you get it in the fucking huge pump bottles.
Yeah, it's like
that
a
lasts
and
me
a half,
like
yeah.
6 months or something, and they're $14.99 a piece. And you get a big thing as conditioner, and a big thing as shampoo, and it's great. But I've started looking at the like natural part because they have a bunch of just like regular brands,
just Joe Blow stuff,
just Joe Blow stuff. But then they also have a bunch of weird shit that's all like. Natural ingredients or vegan or whatever, like all this stuff. And I'm trying to be more ethical with that kind of thing. I'm also getting more into it. That's like my time for myself as I lock myself in the bathroom after the kids go to bed and take an hour a couple times a week. Like do a mask or like fucking foot scrub or whatever. Listen to a podcast, read a book or something. And that's just my time to myself. So I'm trying to find things to do and products to do. And I've tried making them at home. Who has the time?
Like then, making a mask?
Yeah, or like a scrub or something where it's just like coconut oil and sugar or something. But then you need like essential oils and all this other stuff to make it fancy. I'm like, I'm not going to. And then what do I do with the half a thing of fucking thing? My kid's going to eat it. Like, it's fine. It's not going to. What am I going to sit in Tupperware in the bath? No, it's not going to happen. So I'm just designing myself to just be more conscientious with my purchases of these things that already exist. And I've gotten some great shit recently. And it's fucking cheap.
Yeah, because it's fucking there's some really good deals.
Riscount Detailers, right? So it's Riscount fucking Detailers. Riscounted like a motherfucker. And it's also a good place to like try things that you don't like. Do I want to take a chance on a fucking $40 face serum? No, but I'll take $12.99.
Yeah, I've done that with hair stuff there.
You know?
For sure. Yeah,
hair stuff is good. And recently I did get, I took some pictures of the bottles so I could remember what I was talking about. I bought this product this is the third time I've bought it, and it's the same concept, but in different packaging from different retailers, and it's sea salt and coconut oil. Hmm. And this is one I have
for your face?
They say it's for your face, but I use it on my whole body.
Hmm.
And it feels really good to really do on your legs and then shave your legs. So like,
ooh, that's nice.
The shit out of your legs and you get a real close shave.
That's hella nice.
But then it's got the coconut oil in it. So, like, I do this at night. I'll have a bath or something and have a good soak. And then the next, like, 3 days, your skin feels so good. And there's literally, like, three ingredients in this thing. And I bought ones that are, like, sand.
Yeah.
It's like just really fine salt and crystallized oil. They somehow made it a dry, like a sand, the oil. They've done something to it. They claim is a natural process.
As long as it's not those crazy microbeads.
No. Like everything that's described is like the coconut husk or something. I'm trying to find things that are like not,
you know, natural.
Yes. Yeah. That aren't, you know, there's one that's like coffee beans, ground up coffee beans.
I heard that's really good for cellulite.
Yes.
I don't know if that's true. So, I read it in a YM magazine 15, 25 years ago, probably.
I'm like, I don't know if using cocaine topically, cocaine. We are just full of misspoken words here. I don't know if using
caffeine. Officer, it's for topical application.
My dermatologist recommended it for my under eye bags.
That's about the fifth flub we've had.
Oh boy, it's been a day. Maybe we do need to leave the house somewhere and get some fresh air. Anyway, I don't know if topic.
But I bet it does. I bet cocaine has a really nice exfoliant, though. I mean, those little tiny beads, it's got to be sure. Not beads.
You know this is too fine. I don't know. Maybe it just washes right off you. Anyway, so the sea salt coconut oil, and I've Googled it too, and there's other like versions of it, but just these two. These two things combined is fantastic. This product is called Body Prescriptions, which is like the fucking lamest name ever, but whatever. You were $9.99 from like $29.99. Natural minerals and sea salt soften the skin and it scrubs the dirt away and dead skin away for brighter, fresher face. Coconut oil has been added to leave it feeling soft and balanced.
That's a good tip.
And it's lovely. And it says it's for your face, but I do it on my arms too, and like, you know,
on your elbows,
your elbows, your feet.
We used to get like, we used to leave a like,
you do have to wash out the bathtub afterwards. When would you do?
Right, yeah, we used to leave like a jar of like rock salt by the sink, like by our kitchen sink, a jar of rock salt and olive oil, and just use that to wash your hands, like if you're coming in from the garden or something.
Yeah,
and the rock salt is like a really good exfoliant. It gets all the grime out. And the olive oil is just a natural oil-based thing. And then you just wash your hands properly after that. But it's
nice.
It does the best job.
Good to know.
I'm sure coconut oil would just be even better. And on your legs. We used to shave our legs with baby oil. And it's the best. But then you have to throw your razor out. That's a one-time deal.
Another thing in the oil, I was talking to Katie about this earlier in the week, is a, like, instead of a moisturizer, using an oil.
Mm-hmm. And like a serum situation?
Yes. So this one I have is like, what is it? Like argan oil, olive oil, jojoba oil, coconut oil, chia seed oil, and then like vitamin E and rosehip and stuff. And it feels great. You only need like 5 drops. You warm it up in your hands, put it on your face, put it on your lips. And you just put it on, it's super light and has no smell.
Oh, that's
but nice. You feel it all day. It's really nice. So there's like this weird, again, some random brand that's like all the ingredients are 100% natural and it's like made in LA or something. I forget where it's made. It'd come in California. Well, this one's made in the UK. The other one I was looking at was the California one. Anyway, so great. And then there's other like these oatmeal bath soak. Another thing. It's like it's got rose petals in it and it's like an oatmeal and cornstarch. It's great.
Perfect.
Makes you feel like $1 million.
Those are good tips.
Yeah. And it's one of those, like, you don't know what you're going to get because of these discount detailers. You don't know what you're going to get.
But you're not forking over $80 for
no. And then if you don't, and then also sometimes you go away empty handed and that's fine too. And you just go back next time or you go to a different one and you get different shit. And then if there's something you do like, you know, you can find it elsewhere if you need to buy it again. Because what's one of the pitfalls too is that you go back and they just don't have it anymore because they got a weird one-time shipment of this shit from
that fell off a truck
somewhere. Who knows how they got it? But if you do find something you like, then you can find something similar or whatever, right?
Or you Google it and you find it somewhere else, probably Amazon. Don't buy it off of Amazon, but you find it somewhere if you know where it is and you know where to find it. It's a good way to, I mean, unless it's
sure
completely.
But. Or yeah, you find a similar product that's the same deal, but you know, made locally or whatever.
Whatever
man. Yeah. Whatever works for you. You can get it shipped to your house or you know where to go find it. Or you've walked past it a million times in the store and you're like, right. I don't know if we want to spend $36 on this. But maybe you do.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe after spending the $12.99, you don't want to spend the $36 or whatever. Because you realize it's fucking rules. Like this fucking face serum. I will be buying more oil face serum. Who would have thought? Because I do have a little bit of an oily face. But who would have thought that more oil would be the solution.
Not me.
Not me.
No.
Take a chance.
Take a chance on me.
Oh, what about you, Mr. Man?
Well, I've been sick the last few days.
Yeah, so you've been.
And the only thing that's given me any will to live has been Jennifer Lewis, the actress.
Oh, and her songs? Her, like, YouTube videos of her songs, where she, like, sings with girlfriends.
I don't know who this person is.
These fools told me to rap for my book. So I tap, tap, tap for my book. It's like that.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I don't know.
She's amazing.
She's fucking amazing. She just released a book last year called The Mother of Black Hollywood. Because she's played literally
she plays the black mom
everyone,
and everything.
Everyone's mother. She's played Tupac's mom, Angela Bassett's mom, like Brandy's
mom. She's on Blackish
mom.
Now. She plays the grandma on Blackish. Mom. What's her name? Jennifer Lewis.
Yeah, she plays Diana Ross's baby. What's her name?
Tracee Ellis Ross.
Tracee Ellis Ross plays her mama.
Yes, yes.
But one in particular was this movie that was on YouTube called Jackie's Back from the 1999.
Okay.
Does it ring?
There's a real deep part of my brain that's been activated.
The movie is presented as a mockumentary, and it chronicles the life and career of Jackie Washington, a washed up 60s, 70s R&B diva. And it's chronicling her comeback. Which the tagline of the movie is like, she's planning her comeback, but that might not be a good thing. And it's basically just like this really weird, fucked up story of her life and how she became famous. It's kind of based on Jennifer Lewis's real life, but it's completely just like put to like the
Jennifer Lewis,
degree.
Tim Curry, and Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Tim Curry plays the documentarian, Edward Woods at St. John. And there's a fuck ton of cameos from people like
Bette Midler,
Diane Carroll, Jackie Collins, Melissa Etheridge, Kathy Griffin, Sean Hayes, Ricky Lake, Howie Mandel, Penny Marshall, Bette Midler, Liza Minnelli.
And this is on Netflix?
It's on
YouTube.
It's on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it's just like it's this movie is just so stupid.
Love it. I love. Is it like Pootie Tang stupid?
Yes. Yes.
Pootie Tang is one of my most favorite movies.
Like,
of all
look
time.
At the cover. It's like her in a blue fur with a pink negligee and like a pink fuzzy slipper, like a high heeled fuzzy slipper, and like the craziest fucking wig you've ever seen in your life.
Jackie's back. Is that
Jackie's
what it is?
Back?
Oh my god!
And like the way that it's she made the way that she.
1999
yeah.
movie came out.
She makes like the way she comments on race and divadom and pop culture and everything like that. Like it's such
that would have been
it's
peak
so irreverent.
Divadom.
Yeah,
that was like peak Mariah Carey.
Peak. Yeah.
Whitney Houston rivalry.
Yes.
J Lo just coming.
J Lo's coming
on
the scene.
That's.
Jennifer
That's
Lewis
funny.
And Hello Dolly?
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
In Seattle, not in New York. Not
How did you find this on YouTube? Just
I was just listening to the RuPaul podcast, What's the Tea? And she was the guest. And they talked about Jackie's Back on there because obviously RuPaul is obsessed with Jackie's Back. It's like everything that RuPaul loves. It's like it's like a play on the entire industry. And there's this one line in that she's like the whole movie was written around this line. Her daughter's name is Entendre.
Beautiful, love it.
And her daughter plays this like really subservient kind of assistant type to her mother, and she's like carries her bags around and like gets her food and takes care of the costumes.
I'm downloading
blah,
this
blah,
RuPaul
blah.
Podcast episode right now,
and it's fucking hilarious. Like, she comes out swinging right off the top. She's like, RuPaul's
does.
Like, I told that producer to start to hit play the second you walked in the door because I knew you were going to be on the second you walked in. That's exactly how it went down. But it's just like, there's this part of the movie where they're getting ready for the concert, her comeback show. And it's like, they get to the theater in the morning and she's like, Entendre, mother needs her medicine. And she goes away and she's like, make it a double, Entendre.
I bet that name was, I bet she was given
it
that name for that line specifically.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That line was always, like, she's
always going to be
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She said,
worth it.
she said during the podcast, the RuPaul podcast, that the whole movie was written around that line.
Amazing.
Make it a double entendre.
Genius. Then, that's a wrap. That's all you that's would all need.
Yeah.
Cut. We're done.
Where's Mike? Check Hollywood.
Yeah. And then there was another, like they talked about in that podcast episode that there was another line that they wanted to use and they were going to name her other daughter Mezzanine.
Okay.
And the line was going to be, Mezzanine, meet me on the balcony.
Good. Just oh, so good.
Beautiful. So Mezzanine and entendre.
So dumb.
Fantastic. Just so dumb.
It's really
just
good.
Just so delightfully dumb.
So much. I'm absolutely going to be investigating this further.
Good pull. That's the one I would never... It would never have come up on my radar otherwise.
No.
Yeah.
No, but it's
you
so
wouldn't look
worth
at
it.
That at that cover and be like, you know what? I'm gonna download and watch this one. This looks like the one to watch. But now maybe I will.
No, now you know.
Just click, it's on YouTube. Jackie's back.
Yeah. Good one.
Oh my god.
It's so good. Oh my god, the scene with Liza Minnelli is gonna fucking floor you. Oh I can't even talk about it. And this is all based off of shit that actually happened in her life. Like,
oh,
like
really?
People like that she's met and worked with come in and they like take the story of when they met her and flip it and make it as crazy as they can.
That's fun.
And it's just like, yeah, it's just so fucking good. Just a rip-roaring good time. Highly recommend.
Good one.
Beautiful.
It's on the list. Yeah. Well, I think that probably just about does it.
Yeah.
I think I have to go home so I can go to bed. Yeah. I have to go home and call my sister, actually, is what I have to do.
Sounds good.
Oh, boy. Well, this is a part two of our maybe three or four parter of what is the fashion?
Fusion fashion.
Oh, God, it's time to leave.
It's time to get out of here.
Oh, boy.
Find us in all the places. All the digital places.
All the internet corners.
The fashion hags have not entered the storefront physical realm.
No, but who knows? Who knows what the future will bring?
The physical realm does not leave these four walls and these three microphones.
These four digital walls.
Yeah.
Oh, well, hit us up on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and our Gmail. And
quick shout out to Who, What, Where for the
making another list of podcasts.
The list. Thank you so much. That was really nice. So yeah, if you guys like us, tell your friends about it because if your friends are cool, then they'll probably like our show too.
Yeah.
And if you guys write a review on iTunes or wherever you guys get your podcast, that does a lot.
It really does good things for us, very helpful.
And then other people get interested in it and then it turns into a bigger thing and it makes us smile.
So
do that. And remember, of course, that we love you.
But we love fashion more.
Goodbye.
Bye.